We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Presented by Under Armour and Prize Picks, $100 match deposit on your first deposit with the promo code LightYears. Welcome to LightYears. Sitting in for Andy Liu today, I got my guy, Kyle Madsen. I thought we'd mix it up, see if we could get some, change the vibes, get a better results. Did not work.
No, not at all. And my Prize Picks didn't even turn out well either.
No. I did hit on Friday night with Steph and Caitlin Clark, but, you know, like the Warriors, win one, lose one. Win one, lose one. Win one, lose one, lose one, lose one. That's where we're at. You know what? I want to start with a little bit of an overarching thought here. The Warriors lose 114-110 to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Minnesota is currently the 3 seed. They're kind of in a battle for that top seed, even though they're dealing with injuries to Karl-Anthony Towns. And just other issues across their roster. You know, I can't be upset with the Warriors' effort. I thought, unlike Friday night against Indiana, they played really hard for the most part. But stars too old, young guys just not quite smart or skilled enough, roster generally devoid of shooting and also too small. Every limitation showed itself. It's 36-34. They are what their record is. They're a 500 team, man.
That's it, dude. Tonight was Minnesota is better than them. I guess it's just kind of what it was. I mean, the Warriors don't stink. They're not terrible. But like you said, they're about a 500 team. And when you're 500, you're going to battle for the back end of the play-in tournament. It's just, that's what it is. I wish there was more to it than that. It's just kind of, when you're relying this heavily on Jonathan Kuminga and Andrew Wiggins and Draymond Green and Brandon Podziemski, like, it's just not 39-year-old Chris Paul or whatever he is. Like, it's just not conducive to hanging with teams like Minnesota that are young, athletic,
and the end of the game was perfect. They were in a single possession game. They couldn't get stops because they were just a little too small at every position. You see GP2 contesting Jaden McDaniels. You know, you live with Jaden McDaniels getting that mid-range shot, but if he's got a 7 or 8 inch advantage, he's probably got a decent shot at hitting it, more so than, if you put someone who's 6'7 on him. If you get someone who's his own size on him, he's probably missing it because he's not really that great a shooter. And on the offensive end, the last few possessions, what were they doing, man? It was just passing circles to find Steph and Clay. That's it. They have nothing else going for him. And those guys are too old to play that type of offense. Like, not even focusing on any single play. It's like Chris Paul, Draymond Green, GP2, Wiggins, whichever one's out there. They're just passing in circles, trying to get Steph or Clay a hero ball shot. And one, maybe they're capable of making, but they're a little older now. It's a little slower. It's just is what it is.
And everybody knows it's coming.
Yeah.
Like, they want, teams are defending them because they would prefer it's Wiggins or CP3 or Draymond taking shots or going to the rim or doing whatever. That's the everybody run around in circles and run through screens and okay, let's get Steph open, but not really because they've got two guys on him. It just doesn't, it's not, it's not conducive to winning games down the stretch. And what happens is you've got end of shot clock heaves and GP2 contested layups, which he needs to hit, but whatever. It's not good basketball. I can't imagine that Steve Kerr watches that and goes like, yeah, that's what the offense is supposed to be.
It's a talent thing. Most expensive roster of all time. And I feel like they have just complete devoid of talent. Like they don't have enough talent in general across the roster.
Who's their second best player?
I don't know. I mean, their second best overall player is Draymond, but who's their second? It might be Chris Paul, actually. Aaron in the chat is not wrong in saying it might be Chris Paul, but that kind of speaks to it.
Right.
You know?
that's the problem.
they definitely don't have a second scorer. That's for sure. You know?
Jonathan Kuminga's had a nice little leap this year, but that's not on a team that is, if you're viewing this through the lens, what lens do you view this team through? It's as a championship contender, right?
Yeah. Like this isn't a rebuild. This has nothing to do with like, oh, Kuminga's getting a bunch better. It's Steph Curry. You're in the luxury tax. Your goal is to contend. It's not to, you know, have a good time and hope that Kuminga gets there in 2026.
Right. And that's exactly my point. Is Jonathan Kuminga taking a leap is great. It you know, probably should have happened a year or two ago, but it's fine. It's happening now, but it's not enough. This is helpful, but it's not definitively saying, oh, Jonathan Kuminga is the number two guy. There's a reason he wasn't on the court at the end of the game tonight. Yeah. Like they still don't trust him in those spots. And if he had actually taken a significant leap where it's like, yeah, he's the number two guy, then he would have been on the court.
And I'm seeing the chat bring up, this is kind of a microcosm for all the Warriors issues on top of it. You know, Steph only played 30 minutes and Steve was slow to bring him in the fourth. Lead ballooned from 4-8. And that might've been the game there. That really might've been the game. At the same time, how many games have they lost this year? Because Steve puts Steph out there earlier and he just looks 36 at the end of it. So it's like kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, because you do not have enough around Steph Curry. You put Steph out there longer, he's going to fall apart. I mean, he's on pace for the most minutes he's played since 2016. What is that? Like, that's ridiculous. That's absolutely insane that he's playing as many minutes as he has. And at the same time, they don't have a choice. Where's the second scoring coming from? Klay has, you know, it's been nice to see him settle into this six-man bench role, but that's exactly who he is. He's one of the guys. He's not, you know, Splash Brother all-star guy. He's just another guy on the team at this point.
It feels like they're an entire team of just another guy on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's and this is why, not to drag this back to conversations last year, but this is why last year was so maddening.
Yeah.
When it came to not playing these.
Sure.
Because that would have been really helpful if leap Jonathan Kuminga made this year, he made last year. And now this year, being another step forward, like now he can be helpful this year in a tangible, credible way, night in and night out. Same thing with, I mean, pick whoever.
The rotation again. Yeah.
Who can't get on the floor.
Or let me take it the other way.
Sure.
Instead of not playing them last year and us having this constant dynamic of why won't Kerr play them, we get a better look at where they truly are so they can adult decisions can be made about where this team is.
Yes.
Because that's the other part of it. I like Jonathan Kuminga. I don't want to trade him by any means. But if you're looking at this team with everything you've seen this year, Kuminga taking a step next year is not enough to make them, I don't want to say contender, out of the play-in, period. You know, like out of the play-in. They need an external player plus the organic growth that you're going to get from Kuminga to offset Steph being another year older. And, you know, and that's ignoring the fact that they don't have a center. They're still kind of smaller. Like there's a lot of things that need to happen right now that I'm looking at it. And I don't know. They played hard tonight. I thought they played smarter than they normally play. They didn't have enough talent. They legitimately don't have enough talent on the roster.
Also, the Timberwolves shot the brakes off.
And And why did they shoot? And why did they shoot that well?
Because everything was wide open.
And why is everything wide open?
Because the Warriors are not athletic enough.
Yeah, they're like, it's like a combo of either not smart enough or not athletic enough. Their smart guys are not athletic enough, and their athletic guys are not smart enough. You know, yeah. It would be nice if you could put Chris Paul's brain inside Wiggins or Jonathan Kuminga, because then they would have the requisite combination of size and athleticism. But that's not what it is. You're either putting Chris Paul and Pajemski out there next to Steph, by the way, and Draymond, and you're micro sized and slow. Sure. Or you're putting your more athletic guys out there and they're missing rotations, and all this is, you know, they're wide open for a reason. Every defensive scheme this team plays is kind of gimmicky. Everything they do is like sag off of a guy who can't shoot and dare him. Why do you do that? Because you're not athletic or quick enough to actually contest and recover. And I don't know, man, it all ties to the same thing. It's not one or the other. It's just a little bit of all.
Yeah, the bar, it's like they're still trying to build a team to supplement prime Steph, Clay, and Draymond.
Yes.
And the bar for the veteran play they used to need was down here, right? It's like, hey, know what passes to make, nowhere to be on defense, knock down an open three, and you're in. Like, Dario Saric would have been great on the 2017 Warriors.
Correct.
But now,
I mean, they had Jonas Jerebko playing in the finals, and I think Dario is better than him.
Same guy. No, but that's just it. It's like Jonas Jerebko used to be like, yeah, get him in there and he can play 18 minutes. Nemanja Bjelica in the finals? Sure. Like, go for it. But it's they're past that now. And it's like they're still trying to build a team for that, and it's not going to work anymore. And I respect the commitment to Steph, Clay, and Draymond and saying like, hey, we're going to ride this trio until the wheels fall off. Steve Kerr this year in press conferences is talking about, well, we won a title with this group 2 years ago. Like, yeah, but every year at this age, 2 years is like 10. Mm-hmm. And I respect that commitment, but like, we saw it last year. The wheels came off in the second round. It didn't work anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like they jump to this year and it's like, yeah, hey, how about Chris Paul? Let's just throw that in. Like, no, it's not enough. There's like you said, there needs to be, what do you call them, grown-up decisions?
Yeah.
Like, that needs to happen.
Right.
And whatever direction they want to go, they either have to get better pieces to supplement that trio or start something different.
Or a combination, honestly. It really is a combination. You know, Steph, I think, played a pretty good game tonight.
I thought it was really good.
He's still highly capable. He's probably the best player on the floor, but there is a difference between this Steph and 2016 Steph, you know. I keep coming back to this, you know, who's, like you said, who's their second best player?
I think I've asked that on this podcast before
every time. Yeah.
And I do, if you don't know, I do radio in Sacramento. And so when the Warriors come up, the view of Golden State in Sacramento is obviously a little bit skewed. But the people I know up there who are Kings fans and more objective are like, well, Clay can still play and Steph can still play and this and that. And it's like, man, so I always ask, who's their second best player then? And every time it's Wiggins, I guess. It's like, right. That's an issue, man.
It is. In some ways, it feels like they're chasing 2022 Wiggins, and I don't think that's ever coming back. I think that was a one-time aberration. Good that it happened, but, you know, this is more in line with who he's been his entire career. Some games are good, some games are bad. There's not a lot of consistency there.
Yeah, man. You can go back and relitigate should they have paid him or not, but based on how he looked in that playoffs and specifically in the finals, I thought it was the right move. It's like, oh, hey, he turned a corner. He figured it out. He saw the light, and now he's going to become. And like you said, it turns out that was the anomaly.
Yeah.
And
yeah. This is more in line with what we've seen his whole career, which is like talented, enigmatic. Some nights he looks like he could be an all-star. A lot of nights he looks just kind of like he's stuck in neutral, you know, second gear, whatever you want to call it, where you're just like, all right, he's not terrible, but he's not particularly effective either, you know?
And then there's a super frustrating, and then there's a super frustrating, real quick, nights like tonight, where he looks like an all-star for 8 minutes, and you're like, oh man, here it comes. Here comes a 30-point Andrew Wiggins game, and then he disappears for the other 30 that he's on the floor.
Yeah. And some other chats, like, would you trade Wiggins for DeAndre Hunter? And I'm sitting here, and I'm going, sure, maybe. Maybe not, but it doesn't really address the Warriors' issues, you know? Like, it's like, okay, you got a role player who's slightly more consistent. It doesn't address your second. Like, there's multiple moves that need to be made if we're being realistic about this team. If this team wants to get out of just being middle of the road, which is kind of what they're sitting on right now. So
you need realistically to be a championship contender, you need what, minimum two all-stars or two all-star caliber players?
And you assume Steph is one.
Steph is one, yes, for sure.
So yeah, but, and there's not one on the roster, so it has to come externally. Close. Yeah.
It's not even close. And think what you will about Jonathan Kuminga's ceiling. Maybe you're super high on him. You're going, man, he's an all NBA guy. He's an all-star in the making. Yeah, in like years.
Is it happening next year?
Right. That's the the longer we go into this, the further we go along. And we get to Steph Curry being 37 and we get to Steph Curry being 38. The bar of the player that needs to be next to him climbs.
And it's in some ways like the issue that the Lakers are dealing with LeBron. You watch LeBron on any given night, he still looks like LeBron, but he's also not 2016 Cavs LeBron by any means. And so that team goes with Anthony Davis's motor. The nights he plays up to it, they look unbeatable. And then there's a lot of nights where, you know, it's similar to the Wiggins thing, except, you know, AD's obviously a significantly better player, but it's just like, you know, that's kind of where they're at too. And I'm ready to get to the offseason. That's where I'm at. Steph Curry makes you believe you can do anything. Yeah, and the Curry 11s are specifically designed with the ultimate bounce grip and stability to allow everyone to do their thing. New generations of ball players are coming up and showing the basketball world the old rules do not apply. The future is exciting, fast, positive, and hungry. This NBA season, rock your favorite player and rep his shoes on and off the court. Steph's 11th signature shoe steps into the second decade of his sneaker career, pulling colorway inspirations from the wonders of a positive and modernized future on and off the court. Take these kicks with you when you leave the scrimmage and rep UA wherever you go. Do your thing. Change the game. Curry 11, future Curries, are available now at currybrand.com. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100x your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You could turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and obviously college basketball entries today on Prize Pick, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today, guys, and use the promo code LightYears on your first deposit. Match up to $100. That means you put $100 in there, Prize Picks can be like, you know what? Here's another $100. Just take it right there. Once again, guys, remember, promo code LightYears, download the app, Prize Picks. I don't know if you knew, Kyle, but with that loss tonight, the Warriors are officially one game up on the Houston Rockets and in danger of falling out of the play-in.
Yeah, they are.
Life is fun. Is not is life not fun right now?
Hey, can I?
Yeah, go for it.
Would anyone be mad if they missed the play-in? Like, I know it'd be a bad look and there'd be jokes and stuff, but is that better or worse than losing to the Lakers in the play-in?
I mean, it crosses my mind every day, which is like, hey, man, if you're going to fizzle out so spectacularly that management has no choice. Like, they can't pull a, oh, we need a, you know, we just need to, add an Andre Drummond to add another big, and that'll seal, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just we need someone who can rebound the ball and protect the rim a little bit and everything will be fine, you know?
Right. Yeah. The worst thing that could happen is they make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they could talk themselves into it for another year.
Oh, indeed. And, you know, that's where we're at with this team, right? Like, I don't know. If you asked me a week ago, I'd be like, no, they have to make the play-in. We can't, I can't entertain the possibility. And every day I'm watching them, I'm like, man, it might be better for everyone if they fizzle out. It really might. It might force those conversations with Steph and management. It might force the decisions that need to be made, because there's a lot of conversation that they want to rebuild. I don't know if they really want to rebuild right now. If they wanted to rebuild, Steve Kerr would not have got that fat 2-year extension. I just keep going back to that. There is a commitment to put a team around Steph for the next 2 years. I also think, as much as they sell Jonathan Kuminga as the future, and he may very well be the future, he's not Wembanyama, man.
He's better.
I mean, it's like, you watch him, you're like, this is an exciting player who I think can be very good. He's not a, this isn't a, you know, okay, we drafted Andrew Luck, we know he's a dude.
Right.
Peyton, I know you're our guy, but we got to move on because he is the chosen one. This is more of a, we like him. And by the way, like, he can coexist with other players. This isn't a quarterback situation, but like, it's, they don't have an obvious future to where they can, just say punt it and let this guy take over.
No, I'm with you, man. They are, I don't know. I just to real quick, go back to the play in, miss the play and make the play in thing. I do think it would be best. Like, there's the irrational part of me that's like, no, I want to watch Steph Curry play as many basketball games as possible. We don't have that many left, so I want to see all of them. But then on the other hand, you watch Steph this year and you're like, man, he can still be a one on a title team. And I think that's where missing the play in gets to the point where you do make dramatic changes. And I don't think you're going to see Lacob and co like pull the plug entirely and say, okay, screw it, blow it all up, we're going to tank and, you know, start redrafting. I don't think it's anything like that, but they have to look dramatically different. I mean, that was the case last year.
Yeah.
And it didn't do enough. And it's certainly the case again this year. And I just, it would suck to not see them get a shot in the play-in and whatnot. You'd like to see him go to the playoffs, but I think long term, the best thing they could do is just bottom out entirely here. And that sucks to say, because
you're saying for this season, you're not saying bottom out over the course.
For 2023-24, and then try again next year with a roster that looks dramatically different than this one. Because whatever this roster is, isn't it? Regardless of what you think of Jonathan Kuminga, or what you think of Moses Moody or Klay Thompson or Draymond Green or whoever, this iteration of the roster is just not the move.
And it's not getting prettier. Got the Heat on Tuesday, the Brutal. Orlando Magic on Wednesday.
Brutal.
And the Charlotte Hornets on Friday. I mean,
they're losing Miami, one of the two to Charlotte and San Antonio.
I was going to say, Miami, Orlando, you're just praying for a split.
Yes.
Both of those are good home teams who are playing good basketball, and they match up well with the Warriors.
Yes.
Not loving either one of those. And then in theory, you win in Charlotte and San Antonio, but you definitely can't count on this team. Like, they need a 3-1 trip, or minimum, I guess it'd be a 3-2 trip, but it's not looking good. And then they got Houston at the end of it. It's all a mess, man.
They're definitely going to be behind Houston by the time they play Houston, right?
I'm thinking they're going to be tied. But yeah, it's bad. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery and top-notch performance. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Emergency Enhancement System, or EES system. If you haven't heard of the EES system yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, rejuvenation. Whether you're here in the Bay Area or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to the center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EES system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/ light years to learn more and find a center near you. The Warriors might need the unified system for what I can tell. Warriors need prize picks. The entire team needs the Curry 11s. Can't just be Steph. And you know what? A little like mental and physical well-being can't hurt anyone, right?
Anyway. Maybe that's Wiggins' problem. Maybe his chakras are misaligned and we can get that fixed.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know.
All right, we got a special caller coming in first. It's been a minute since I've heard from Aaron.
Hold on. Can y'all see me?
Can y'all hear me? We can hear you. Right?
Excuse my hiatus. I had the flu recently. That shit was crazy. But this is nuts, man. What a year. I'm glad to be back. I wish we had, you know, I actually took like a sports hiatus after the Super Bowl. I was just so over it.
Smart.
But I'm back. And now, you know, in typical Bay Area sports form, there's another team that's going to let me down. This team's letting me down. But I've already prepared myself for the inevitability of the Giants season where it's another 500 team that I'm going to have to watch. So,
but a 500 team with some interesting names.
Oh, I think yeah. I think the Giants are going to be okay this year. They're going to be able to get people out and they'll hit enough. I think
they got the LED lights. They're definitely going for the rave crowd this year.
They're staying in San Francisco. It's a plus.
Oh man, it's good. You know, I think we'll have some cool summer nights at AT&T Park, but yeah, man, I don't know about this. I just don't want the Dubs to make the playoffs at this point. It's just not worth my time. It's not worth your time. And I love the part of the year when we can all just talk about in the chat right now, everyone is the GM. They're like, we should do this for Laurie. We should do this for da-da-da-da. I'd love this part of the season. I would rather do this all day. Oh,
it's better than talking about these games. Let's be honest. Oh, my God. You bring up a good point. The sooner they get eliminated, the sooner we can pivot to – free agency previews, fake summer trade league. Machines.
Summer league.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you imagine what the four...
What if Pods develops a floater, guys?
Oh.
What happens?
Can you imagine the Chris Brickley and Pods content this summer? Oh, Chris Brickley. Golly. They're going to have him...
Will every Pajemski IG sizzle reel have Jack Harlow behind it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, it's going to be, oh, my God, he braided his hair. We're back, baby. We're back.
The four podcasts after the Warriors lose four games to the Nuggets in the first round would be so those would be so tough to get through.
Get angry on here and be like, "How? Why didn't Steve Kerr make Chris Paul 6'8"? What's wrong with him?" You know, like
it's crazy. We just rolled
there,
same shit every game. Like, yeah, we're gonna blow this by like 4-10.
It's brutal. Oh, is that where your head's at? I'm lying to myself every game. Hope, I'm like texting Kyle or Andy most nights at halftime, being like, "They look better. They look better. I'm feeling it. They look like they're turning a corner," and then you know. Yeah, the corners turned right victims. Back to the same corner we were on before.
We're all victims, man. And the worst part about it is, you know, you guys have a job to do. Like, I get that. But, like, man, I'd be following the other Hoop podcast and that Jason, that who, what's it, Timf? What's his name?
Jason Timf.
That guy is fucking serious because, like, on YouTube, he'll have, like, 20-minute segment reel instead of talking about how good Denver is. He's hilarious, bro. It's like, dude.
I love that guy.
Joe Lacob is giving you the bag to talk about this 10th place team. Oh my God. Like, you are the man, bro. You and like you are like the good version of Bill Simmons.
Like, shout out Jason. Good dude. He's gonna be back on the show.
I love that guy. He's doing God's work. Like just making YouTube videos of why we're so dangerous. But hey man, this is the summer of LeBron.
Dangerous for our health.
Hey man, come on! How you guys doing? How you guys holding up?
Great.
You know,
you know what? You know what sucks? Do you know what sucks about this? Is I sit here on this podcast and texting Sam or my friends who are Warriors fans or whatever, and it's like, I'd rather this team miss the play-in than make it. Da da da. But I'm gonna be right back here at 4 o'clock for when they play the Heat, and I'm gonna be like, well, maybe they'll start stringing them together. Maybe they'll figure it out.
Pods will open the game with a step back. You'll be like, "Ooh, that's new. That looks good."
Dude, I am a clown, dude. They've got me.
I'm like psychic at this point. I think that the backbreaking loss of this season is going to be the back-to-back against Orlando when it's like a 35-point game at half after we played the Heat in South Beach. That's going to be the nail in the coffin. That's the night the Rockets tie for us for the 10th. And that's when we could just kiss and goodbye. That's the night. Book it. Mm.
Call in that night. We wait for
you. Oh, no. Trust me. I've already had it. I've had it circled. Fitz was talking about it. I was like, oh, yeah, we're fucked. Full Banquero 60 burger. Watch this. Oh, what a season. I love it, though. I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. I love it.
Appreciate you, man.
Anytime. See you Wednesday.
Oh, God. Cole Anthony's definitely going like 6 of 8 from three.
That's a funny part. Orlando's big. You're like, oh, how are they going to handle Paulo, Franz, Wendell Carter, and who's going to cook him?
Jonathan.
5'11" Cole Anthony, right?
Dude, they have nothing for Cole Anthony and Jalen Suggs. There's nothing. Jonathan Isaac's a good player, by the way.
He is. He looks healthy. Defensively, he's everything they need, which is a wing who's actually big and can actually defend. But, you know, there's a lot of players out there who would help this team. That's what happens when your team is very average. The volume of players who can help your team starts getting larger and larger.
Yep. Sad.
You know who doesn't say that? The Denver Nuggets. Not a lot of things they need. They're like, we could use maybe a backup point guard. That'd be nice. You know,
they like, watch the Raptors and see Jalen McDaniels fucking around out there, and they're like, we could use that guy.
Yeah,
exactly. That guy. 13 men. Exactly.
All right, let's keep moving. We got some Draymond quotes coming in too.
Yeah.
All right, Abdullah, what's up, man?
Hey, man.
How you doing?
I'm good. This game, at least they lost at a reasonable hour on the East Coast. So, you know, trying to stay positive.
We look for the positives, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm with the last guy. Like, I am basically in that mindset of, like, how are they going to blow this lead? Like, I think, like, that's one of my first thoughts is, like, oh, my God. Like, losing close games, like, I can't tell sometimes how much of it is on the players and how much of it is, like, the coaching staff just not being able to like scheme up stuff at the very end for us to be able to pull out these like close games. I can't really tell who's it more on. But like, I wanted to talk about Kuminga because I'm a big Kuminga guy, but tonight I felt like he was the reason why we lost the game more than if I had to like pinpoint one person, like, because I could think of like 5 or 6 plays on defense where usually we overhelp like crazy and leave shooters open. He wasn't even overhelping. He was just standing under screens, not fighting through. And it's like, it wasn't like, oh, he's guarding Ja and he's like playing off because he's worried he's going to get burned. It's like Mike Conley, who's what, like 37? And he's like going under the screen, even though he could fight through and make sure that he's in front of him. Naz Reid is like half-ass closeouts over and over and over again. And it's just like making me think when you guys are talking about like making big moves, like if they have to make a big move, like, does it make sense to include Kuminga to get something reasonable back and hold on to somebody like Pods who could be like a role player around a bunch of vets? Cause like, I remember watching really closely those like 2 or 3 games where Steph was hurt. And I was like, what does he look like without Steph's gravity? And I felt like there were stretches in those games where he like really struggled. And so I feel like he's getting better. His mid-range is getting better. But like, I'm also thinking about the fact that like, as he gets better, Steph is declining. And what is he going to look like without Steph, like, and his gravity? And I kind of just think it's like best case scenario, like low-end all-star. And I think I've been like lying to myself that it might be more than that. And so thinking about that, I'm just kind of like, I feel like for the right move, I'd be willing to pull the trigger.
I agree with you. The player I think he's going to end up being like best case, and I don't mean stylistically, but impact wise, is someone like Pascal Siakam, who's very, to your point, can make an all-star team. Mm-hmm. Damn good player. Help you win. He's not Kawhi Leonard. You know, he's not Kevin Durant. And if you think about it, earlier in Siakam's career, he was a vital part of that 2019 Raptors team. He was 24 years old then. He might have been 25. Mm-hmm. But what was he? He was the third or fourth best player on that title team, right? It was Kawhi was obviously the man. Kyle Lowry was clearly the second best player. They had a bunch of great veterans, the Marc Gasols, Serge Ibaka, and Danny Green, although, fuck Danny Green. Anyway, that's a different conversation. but then like, and then he was kind of like that, like third option. Just when you think you haven't figured out, Spicy P is going to hit you with the spin move and cook you a little bit, which is great. And I think if they want to contend next year, that's probably the role he's in, which is to say they need to get someone who's clearly better than him, who can match Steph on some level, who can be like that 1B to 1A. And then Kuminga can be that like, oh, okay, we finally have Steph and, you know, insert X guy figured out. And then Kuminga's coming through and killing us type of guy, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's how you got to do. And if he develops into more than that over time, it's great. But don't put all your eggs in that basket for next year.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's like somewhere around a third or really like great fourth best player on a title team. Like he's somewhere in my mind between like his ceiling is between like Michael Porter Jr. and like Aaron Gordon, where it's like this guy can be really good in spurts, but like you can't count on him to like carry you or be a number two on a title winning team.
But the bread and butter of the team is Jokic and Murray, which is your point. Yeah. No, yeah. I think that's it's a really good call out. And it comes back to what Kyle was saying, which is what's your goal? Is your goal to contend or is your goal to just kind of kick the can down the road? Because your goal is to contend. This is the conversation we got to have. If your goal is to see what he can be in 3 years, then sure, we'll keep doing this until something happens.
Do you think Lakeup loves Kuminga that much that they'll turn down like legitimate trade offers for him?
No.
In the summer? No.
Can I real quick jump in here? I want to ask what people think Jonathan Kuminga's ceiling is. Like if because I agree here that trading him is probably going to be a necessity if they're going to add the pieces they need to add around Steph to contend over the next year or two, because he is by far their best and most valuable trade chip. But what's the ceiling here? Is it one on a title team where you think he can usher in the next era of Warriors basketball? Or is it just, what'd you say, fourth best player on a title team? Because if that's the case, then yeah, I'm punting.
I think it's like, I'm coming back to this, like, for, I know most of the people on the pod are Niner fans. I'm a Raiders fan, tragically. And for me, I remember when we like drafted Derek Carr, we were like, we got someone. And like, I think there's a little bit of that like energy of like, we have something here with Kuminga. And like, there is like an excitement from the fan base. And I think even from the team. Of like, and I'm not saying I think Kuminga can be better than Derek Carr. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that energy of like, we hit on something, because it's been quite a long time since we've hit on something. And that can be like really dangerous as a franchise too,
to like
get
I
overly
like that.
Excited about a guy that you hit on and you're just projecting like, hey, like, cause like as a Raiders fan, like it took years for me to finally like get off that like Carr drug of like, he played like one or two quarters where like, holy shit, he made this throw that like, I can't believe he actually pulled off.
And Marcus Russell like, couldn't do this. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly, right? It's like, but we're like a poverty franchise. So it made sense for us to like be so delusional. Like the Warriors are not a poverty franchise, at least for like the last 10 years. And so it's frustrating because I think you're right. I think it is just very much like we're overestimating what he could be one day. So I'm going to leave it at that. I'm just going to say real quick, though, Sam.
What's up?
San Jose is very much the Bay Area. I'm from San Jose originally. I feel like you Davis guys, UC Davis guys, love to hate between you and like Hassan Minhaj, who's always shitting on my alma mater, UC Santa Cruz. Like you guys love the bus shots.
To be clear, I recognize San Jose is part of the Bay Area, but growing up in the East Bay and going to Davis, I do love to rib the South Bay and be like, come on, guys. You guys are like 2 hours away. It doesn't count. It doesn't count.
Everybody does. I can't tell you how many times I had like a girlfriend who lived in Oakland or San Francisco who made it seem like I literally grew up in the boonies. And I'm like, I grew up 40 minutes from here. It's not that far away. Anyways, have a good night, guys.
Have a great one, man.
See you. too.
That Derek Carr analogy is going to be stuck in my head for a very long time.
It's really good. It's kind of where I think, like, I think that, because I'm still pretty high on Kuminga, mm-hmm. but I also don't, somebody put Jaylen Brown, or a couple people put Jaylen Brown as his ceiling. And
which is one I've thrown out for a while, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, and I don't even necessarily disagree with that. Jaylen Brown over the last 5 years is 24, 6-3, shooting 36% from three on 7 threes a game. Like, man, that would be awesome. But are we looking at that? What next year, year after? If he gets there 2 years from now, 3 years from now, if you're going to build another contender around Steph, I don't think it can be with Jonathan Kuminga in the building.
Or
is the conundrum that I keep coming to, because it's the most valuable trade piece.
You're saying they're not going to be able to acquire the talent necessary to be a contender without giving him up.
Yeah, exactly.
We can hope, but I think you're probably right. It feels you can get really lucky if you could pull a trade off without that happening.
Yeah, and that's, don't get it twisted. If they can, if that move is out there where somebody's like, we love Moses Moody and
what if they get Naz Reid, though? You know, like, cool.
Well, okay, look, now how far is Naz Reid behind LeBron in all time points? And how many games
against the Warriors they're tied? Yeah. God, Naz Reid, another 20. Honestly,
ungoddamn believable.
Naz Reid was not on Prize Picks board today. I see what they were doing there, because it's easy money. It was easy money. Everyone's going to take the over. They could have set the over at whatever. We would have taken it and doubled down on it, you know?
Yeah. Naz Reid, the Bones Highland of Carl Anthony Towns's.
Right. I want to do a couple. There's a couple interesting Draymond and Steph quotes, mm-hmm. and then we'll get out of here on that.
Too not Bones Highland. Hey, who's the guy on the Nuggets who always used to kill the Warriors? Will Barton.
You guys had an extended film session on the Pacers game. Just how ugly was that tape to watch?
Yeah, it was nasty. We had control of the game by one point and then just gave it up and never got it back.
How demoralizing is it considering stakes, situations, standings, all that, that you guys?
It sucks. So. You know, when you have to win, you know, it sucks.
How are you kind of balancing that we need to win and also just we also have to build these good habits so that if we do make it in the play and beyond, we can make a run?
But in order to win, you have to build good habits. So I don't think we have great habits. Until you play with great habits, at all times you lose.
The position you're in now, just in the standings, game up on Houston, what would you say are some of the biggest factors that have led to this?
Losing games, especially games that we should win. We lose a lot of games that we should win. So, in this league, you have to win the games you're supposed to win and still a few that you're not supposed to win. But if you lose the ones you're supposed to win, you're in it for a long year.
Do you feel like you should have won tonight?
For sure.
What do you think didn't allow you to?
A lot of things. We have too many breakdowns.
Yeah.
You just can't win having breakdowns. You have breakdowns. It changes momentum, and momentum in this league is not hard to. I mean, it's not easy to get back. So they're an NBA team too. By the standings, they're a much better NBA team than us. So if you can't not have breakdowns, you're going to lose. And if you play against a team that is technically better than you and you have breakdowns, you're always going to lose. And that's why we lose a lot right now.
It seemed like in the second half, it was mostly like half court, like, you know, pick and roll or switch type breakdowns. Yeah. Is that?
We're a very quiet team, so you have communication. You have issues on defense when you have back in the defense.
How much are you now kind of tracking the Rockets?
I don't give a damn about the Rockets.
Oh, he wants to kill everyone. This is an angry Draymond right here. No communication, breakdowns, momentum. I mean, how many times have we talked about this?
Yeah, I don't.
We're game 70, right? Like, it's, you know what? Kuminga and Wiggins are probably not going to turn into Iguodala on Tuesday. You know, like, and that's just kind of where we're at with this team, right? Like, he's frustrated. He looks like he wants to punch a wall or Slater or someone, you know? So that's where we're at.
The beanie, real quick, for people listening on the podcast, he's wearing a the Draymond Green Show beanie, which is just incredible shit. Yeah, man, I get it's probably frustrating, but like, this is... It's where they're at. This is the team. This is what it is. Draymond said it himself. I think he was talking about James Wiseman when he said this, but he was talking about how it's way easier to get a player to tone down their energy than to ramp up a player.
Yeah.
And it feels like they just got a lot of dudes that aren't that super high energy. Like, there's nobody on this team they have to calm down. They have to say, hey, chill, take a second.
This is
what they are. They're just not quite there.
And to clarify, this is why they love Pajemski. People think Steve Kerr, it's Draymond and Steph.
Yes.
He's the closest thing they have to an Iguodala, a Livingston, just one of those guys who plays connected basketball, calls everything out, is smart. He just happens to be 20, or I guess he's 21 now, as of a month ago. And, you know, 6'4". Plays his heart out, but he is 6'4". So that's where we're at with this team. I thought that was interesting. I think we could probably just end on that. Kyle, I really appreciate you.
Yeah, dude. Literally anytime.
All right, everyone. We'll call it a night. Go enjoy your families.
Go enjoy literally anytime.